Here's an urgent message from Agora Financial.
Like it or not, marijuana legalization is sweeping the country. On Election Day, California, Nevada, and Massachusetts all roundly voted to legalize recreational marijuana use. And that means that very soon, dozens of tiny marijuana firm stocks could skyrocket by 100%, 300%, 500%, or higher. This is your chance to turn a single $50 bill into an absolute fortune. But you need to get in ASAP. Shares could begin soaring soon. According to CNBC, now is the right time to bet big on marijuana, as the industry is poised to be gigantic, and Forbes is touting that hundreds of millions of dollars are pouring in. Go to profitfrompot.com to find out how you can legally stake a claim in the best of the best that the industry has to offer. If you don't, you'll probably regret it for the rest of your life. Go to profitfrompot.com now. That's profitfrompot.com.
Welcome to Recalculating America. Like its award-winning book, Recalculating is dedicated to small business in America and has been named the best small business book in the Independent Press Awards competition. Each Recalculating program is dedicated to helping small business leaders add profits through efficient growth. During every Recalculating program, experts will give listeners useful information about starting or growing their small business. Your hosts are Don Mazzella and Dan Perkins. Don Mazzella is the editor-in-chief of the Small Business Digest. Dan Perkins is a registered investment advisor with 43 years' experience in managing money. He specializes in helping small business owners make their money work as hard as they do.
Dan Perkins here, your co-host, along with Don Mazzella of Recalculating for Small Business. Our radio program is dedicated to you, helping the small business owners increase their profits. We draw our name from Recalculating, voted the best small business book of 2017 by the Independent Press. In this book, it features contributions of more than 100 presidents, experts, and leaders, all whom offer you ways to grow your small business. Now, here's Don Mazzella.
Dan, our next guest is someone I'm really looking forward to talking with. It's Jacqueline Breslin. She's with a PEO firm called TriNet. She's one of the more fascinating guests we're going to have on. And I'll let you and her open the program. Jacqueline, welcome to the show. And my co-host, Dan Perkins.
Good morning. How are you?
I am great. Thanks so much for having me here today.
Well, thank you for giving us the time to meet to talk with you. Jacqueline, let's get an important piece of information out. What is your website so where our listeners can reach you?
Our website is trinet.com, and that's www.trinet. And we spell Trinet, T-R-I-N-E-T, then .com.
So tell us about your organization and what you do and how you think you might be able to help our small business listeners.
Sure, great. So I work for TriNet, and we're a professional employer organization. And we have over 25 years, we've been in the business for more than 25 years. And we're currently serving over 14,000 small and mid-sized businesses across the U.S. and in Canada. We help small businesses with their benefits, with payroll, and human resources compliance. One of the advantages that we provide our clients is we bundle together some really important business aspects, such as health insurance and workers' compensation, payroll, and we bring that all together under one umbrella. So our clients are dealing with one provider, one strategic partner, versus managing multiple partners together.
That, as a small business person myself, I was just going to say, I apologize for interrupting, but you rang so true to me, because as a small businessman, I used to try and do that on my own. And then I tried to convince my wife she should be able to do it. And after a while, she said she's not going to do it anymore. I think the idea of bundling, do you have the ability to offer them better pricing than they can find on trying to do the individual things themselves?
Well, we do offer economies of scale because we have so many clients. We're a big player in the market, and so providers and vendors are, they want to work with us. So we offer richer benefit plans than a small business could get on their own. And so that's a definitely a perk, because we know that businesses, you want to attract and retain great talent. And if you're only able to offer, a minimal amount of plans or, features on your own, we're able to offer, much richer than what a small business can get on their own.
So one of your pluses, if I could say so, is that you have the ability to help a small business both attract and retain people for the purposes of through the benefits that you can get as part of your buying service, as opposed to what I as an individual entrepreneur can get on my own.
Yes, very, very well said. And then I would add to that, we also have great technology that our clients can utilize, and so their employees are able to, and they are able to interact with us, online. So if an employee wants to sign up for direct deposit, they don't have to, ask their busy business owner for a form. They just log into the TriNet and do that. So that is also a great. There's efficiencies built in with working with us also.
Yeah, the other thing I'm doing this off of intuition, not factual, but I'm guessing that over the last 8 years, you've been spending spending a significant amount of time working with businesses trying to figure out healthcare.
Oh God, you're so right. Right, TriNet has a long history of helping our clients manage their benefit decisions. And with the Affordable Care Act, we have never been more valuable to our clients to try to navigate, what they need to be doing, what they can be doing, what they should be doing. We've invested heavily in that internally to support our clients, and it's been a really important part of how we've supported our clients and continues to be.
Again, I'm making an assumption. You and I have not talked before, so this is all new to me, and you're new to me also. But I would assume that you must have some contacts in Washington, D.C., because of all the things that you work in are so regulation-bound. Do you have a sense of where healthcare is headed under the Trump administration?
So, wow, what a question, right? I wish I had all the right answers of directing, what's going to happen and where we're going. So we do have a political advocacy group within our organization, a business unit within, as you can imagine, just as you said, regulation is important to us, not just in healthcare, but other areas also. So while I don't have a good prediction of where we're going, what I can say is that we are at TriNet watching things carefully because we need to help our clients respond and react and take next steps. And we as a business need to know what we need to do also.
Yeah. One of the things that concerns me as a small business, and when I've finished this question, we'll give you a chance to answer, and then we'll switch over to Don for a little bit. One of the things that concerns me is that while we don't have a repeal and replacement, we have announcement by insurance companies who are withdrawing from markets. And in many cases, hundreds and hundreds of counties in this country only have one provider under Obamacare, and there's no guarantee that they're going to stay in the business. And so while we're trying to fix one, we may have another one where an employer could find themselves with no coverage to give to their employees because the Obamacare exchange provider, the one remaining one, says we're not going to play anymore. So what are you doing and how do you plan for that?
So we have the advantage at TriNet that our plans are national in nature, and so we're not facing and haven't yet faced a situation where we've had to tell a client that we are not able to give you coverage to your employees. So one of the advantages of working with us is that we're tracking that. And because, again, we have a national footprint. So the plans that we put in front of our clients are available to their employees, no matter what city, county, state they're in.
Good. Thank you.
Before you hear this or this or even this, before you turn a key, step on the gas and let it rip, before you get up and out and on the road, you have to be fueled by something. Make sure that something is Valero. Valero top-tier certified quality fuel keeps your engine running cleaner, better, and longer. Find a station near you at valerocleangas.com.
Hate your old fax machine? You can now fax through email. Simply write an email, attach the document, and send. Works with all major email providers. Get rid of the noisy and expensive old fax machine and try Biscom's Cloud Fax. Our solutions are great for businesses of all sizes. Visit Biscom.com for your free trial. That's BISCOM.com.
Don?
I'll start, Jacqueline. I'm a small business. I'm thinking of using you or any PEO firm. What are the three or four questions I, as a small business, should be asking you? And what are the three or four questions a PEO should be asking the small business?
Yeah, I think you want to – well, we want to get to know the small business that we're talking to. So we want to hear about your employees. Where are they located? What's important to your business? Why are you coming to us in the first place? And clients buy from us for a number of reasons. Some of them do it because they're looking for efficiencies, as I've talked about, right? They want to move – they're dealing with so many vendors. They want to move things together. Maybe they're on a growth spurt, and so they're not really familiar with the compliance laws that they need to have in place, and so they want a partner to help them do that. They don't want to hire in-house HR. They want a partner. Some maybe it's because their benefit plans that they're able to offer their employees have not been up to par, so they're looking for that. So we want to get to know a client, so we ask questions like that. And then the things that clients should be asking PEOs would be, tell me about the types of industries that you work in. Since industry to industry is different, you're going to have different requirements when it comes to your HR needs. And this is especially true for compliance and attracting and retaining employees. So talk to the PEO that you're looking at and ask them what their experience is in the industry that you're working in. If you have benefit interests, ask them about the PEO what plans they offer, what are they going to do to help me make decisions, and then what sort of HR experts do you have also, or any payroll experts? Tell me about the expertise within the PEO organization, because those are the people you're going to be interfacing. What's your service team going to be like, and what experience do they have? So I think it's really about the experience of the people and whether or not they're supporting your industry. I would start there.
Well, okay. So starting there, but now, does the firm also help recruit employees, or is that still the main function of the small business?
We do have a talent acquisition portion of our business. So our clients who want us to help them recruit, we have different levels within it, from full service recruiting to helping them do a great job posting. That is part of our business model. We do price that separately. And the reason we do that is because not all of our clients want us to do recruiting for them. So we don't want clients who don't want us to do their recruiting paying for that in the service fees. So it's a direct service that we offer to our clients who are interested in that service, and we're happy to do it. Now, we do some things that are just core that helps with recruiting, providing guidance, teaching and training interview techniques to managers, providing great toolkits for clients that are recruiting. And for some clients, that's satisfactory. They just need to maybe brush up on their skills and get started, whereas some of our clients do want us to take that on, completely for them.
We have about a minute and a half before we have to go to commercial break. But let me ask you, if a small business is sitting there, and for every dollar that they pay in salary, how much do they pay? What is the percentage the average percentage a firm like yours adds to it to manage all of these factors?
So, you know, that is a complicated question. So because it might some prospects, when they come to us and they look at the costs and what they get, they actually end up paying less with us than managing multiple vendors and doing it on their own. So I can't give you a comparison like that, but I would not automatically, if I were listening to this, rule out a PEO because you're convinced it's going to be too expensive. You might find that it keeps things neutral for you or a little less, or if it is an increase, you're gaining so much that you're finding it to be, you know, the right business decision.
Okay. We have to take a brief break here right now to hear from one of our sponsors. But we'll be back right after this.
Before you hear this or this or even this, before you turn a key, step on the gas and let it rip, before you get up and out and on the road, you have to be fueled by something. Make sure that something is Valero. Valero top-tier certified quality fuel keeps your engine running cleaner, better, and longer. Find a station near you at valerocleangas.com.
Want to know more about health savings accounts for your company or yourself? Go to 2HSA.com and get a free employer's primer. Health savings accounts are a cost-effective way of offering health care benefits to your employees and yourself. HSAs build retirement funds for your employees, improve morale, and reduce your health care benefit cost. For a free employer guide to HSAs, go to 2HSA.com. That's 2HSA.com.
We're talking today with Jacqueline Breslin. She's with TriNet, a professional employment organization that's one of the largest in the country. And I'm going to turn it back to Dan. Dan, do you have a question for Jacqueline?
I do. I want to follow up on your question before the break. Jacqueline, is there, if I'm a small business person, at what point in either in terms of sales or numbers of people, employees in my company, do you become viable for me to consider?
So I think that if you're at least, you know, 10 employees, a PEO is worth considering. And that's because at that point, at 10, you're likely dealing with some, you know, federal or local labor laws that you probably want some guidance on, you know, for, you know, an expertise. You're likely offering benefits to employees. Payroll taxes are always an issue, right? Because you're paying your employees. And so at that point in time, you're likely done with sort of managing these 10, this 10 people, the HR part of it, and you're ready for a partner.
So when you think about a small business and you think about the significant array of services that you have to offer to a small business, where does the small business make the most mistakes in doing it on their own?
Yeah, I would definitely say on the compliance front. And compliance encapsulates many interactions that a small business has with employees, from paying employees on a schedule that is compliant with the state that they're in. And so, you know, we are introduced to, you know, a new client, and let's just for an example, they're based in California. And they have hourly employees, and we find that they're only paying employees once a month. Well, California requires that employees who are hourly get paid at least twice a month. So So that business was certainly not trying, was not knowingly, you know, they're, I'm sure they're not knowingly not paying employees frequently enough. They just, they didn't know. And so, or an employee, there's rules around final pay. And so employees, you know, that don't get their paychecks when they need to on their last day of work, there could be penalties and fines. So starting from payroll questions, things get more complicated. The paid sick leave laws in states and cities and municipalities is literally growing on a monthly basis. And whether you're a small business, most of them start, if you have one employee, you have to comply. And then if you're even larger, there's more complications around paid sick leave. So we see that being a blind spot for, you know, for employees on the compliance rules front. That's where we see mistakes happening, compliance and including payroll.
So one area that seems to be getting a lot of play and has for a number of years is sexual harassment. Do you provide any services on that area?
We do. So we provide harassment prevention classes. We do. We have some really great modern online courses that employees can go through, and they're super engaging. So they're great, you know, even for a millennial type of, you know, environment. They, you know, sort of like the gamification of training. So there's that part of it. We can do in-person training if our clients prefer that. And then mm-hmm. we help them with the policy, you know, drafting policies. We also, although we hope our clients never get here, if there is a harassment complaint within the workplace, we do have employee relations consultants that conduct investigations for the client. So we serve as a neutral investigator, which is another great benefit of working with us. So that client doesn't need to hire an attorney or a private investigator to do that investigation. We can take that on for them.
One more question that I have, and then I'll turn it back to Don. I'm concerned about if I'm a small businessman and I'm doing everything on my own, and I decide that I want to go with somebody like you, and I look at Trinet, and I'm one of the questions that I'm maybe not many people are asking, or maybe a lot of people are asking this question, and that's the area of cybersecurity, of payroll records, bank records. What do you do to convince the potential customer that you have a secure facility?
Yeah, I mean, that is, as you can imagine, that is certainly a question we get asked by our prospects and our clients. We do have a security security division within Trinet. We have documents that we provide our clients that walks them through what we've done for security and our ongoing measures, even to the point where our clients can speak directly to our business security people to get what they need to have the confidence in what we have. We are a cloud-based organization, so you're right. Our clients do want to know what we've done to keep their information secure.
And do you give them, I'll follow up on that just real quick, Don, is do you give them guidance on how to make sure at their point they're most as secure as they possibly can be?
So we give them some best practice guidance and advice, but we really believe that the security. And we give them guidance on how to keep their HR data secure and what to do and what their responsibilities are when it comes to HR data. But we believe overall that our clients need to be partnering with, you know, either the right HR security outsourced firm or consultant to get that information. And we do, we have partnerships there too. So if the client doesn't already have a resource, we have referred them to partners also.
Okay, Don, back to you.
We're talking with Jacqueline Breslin. She's a senior vice president with Trinet, a PEO firm, which I've always found has been one of the better firms in the area. Jacqueline, we're getting close to the end, so I guess my question centers more on What are the most common small businesses that utilize your services or the services of other PEO firms?
So we, at Trinet, we work with a wide variety of types of businesses, but we do have experts within the organization for those types of businesses. So, for example, we work most frequently with technology companies, financial services companies, professional services, hospitality and nonprofit, and life sciences. And within those specialties, we have service team members that have experience with those verticals. And we've built services around, for example, what a life sciences company needs versus a hospitality firm versus a nonprofit.
Well, let me jump in here and ask one more quick question, which is, in regulated industries like the gambling industry and the marijuana industry, do you help people ensure that employees are properly licensed and properly relicensed, et cetera?
You know, that's not something that we take on. We can do tracking for that of our clients who have licensed employees, because there are, you know, so many businesses where that's a requirement. And so through our HRIS system, that information can be tracked. But we're not a conduit to the licensing that needs to happen.
Hmm. Dan, you get to ask the last question. We have about a minute and a half.
Well, I'm curious. You sound like a huge company. I assume you have offices all over the country, but you said that you're a cloud-based organization. So is it predominantly internet-driven, or do you actually have salespeople in the field who call on customers and prospects?
Yeah, so we, you're right, we are a large national company, and we definitely have sales consultants in many of the states across the U.S., that are meeting with prospects face-to-face, along with service colleagues who are in many of the many cities across the U.S. who serve their clients, can be right on site with them.
So, go ahead, Don.
Well, I was going to say, Dan, unfortunately, we've run out of time. There's just enough time for Jacqueline to give her name and her website and her company.
Okay, great. So my name is Jacqueline Breslin, and I work for Trinet, and you can find us at www.trinet.com.
Will you spell out Trinet?
Sure thing. It's T-R-I-N-E-T.
Okay.
Jacqueline, thank you for joining us today.
Thank you very much for having me.
Dan Perkins here with your recalculating small business tip of the day. How important is paint to a painter? Current estimates are that America has 450,000 house painters, and almost all of them are small businesses. The cost of paint is going up, so paint is a large expense for the painting contractor. The cost of the paint can be as much as 15% of the price of the job. Skimping on the paint may cost you in the long run. Using a lower quality paint may make your price more competitive, but the client may not like the results a year or two down the road, and that could cost you more than you think. Like many things, you can buy lower quality paint that doesn't hold up, but the lower price could cost you a referral and could damage your reputation. So if you're a house painter, think about spending a little more on the paint you buy. You will grow your business, your reputation, and spread joy all around the house. Check out recalculating.biz for more useful small business suggestions. This has been Dan Perkins with your small business tip of the day.
At Valero, we believe life gets lived between every fill-up. So whether you go down the road on two wheels or four, whether your Wednesday night is spent racing to the grocery store or down a track, and whether you're dropping off the mail, the pizza, the kids, or all of the above, we're here to make sure you're never running on empty. Valero top-tier certified quality fuel keeps your engine running cleaner, better, and longer. Find a station near you at valerocleangas.com.
Don't let hackers get your data. Email is insecure and can't handle large files. Instead, use Biscom's secure file transfer product. military-grade security that's as easy to use as email, and it can handle attachments of any size. Visit BISCOM.com for your free trial and make sure your private communications stay private. That's BISCOM.com.
You know, when they talk about someone who can ring sales from short dollars, they talk about Rob Wagner. I've heard about him in the past. I'm glad we finally got him on the program. And welcome to the show, Rob.
Hey, thanks for having me, guys.
Why don't you tell our audience, who may not have heard of you before, who you are, what you do, and what services that you provide that might be interested to our entrepreneur business.
So my background is in the lending business, in the finance market, and I own the website businessloanleads.org, and we cater to the business finance market space, and we deliver leads to those lenders. My background is mostly in marketing, so that's what I focus on here at the company. And we basically match small businesses that need money with lenders who have money to lend.
Mm. So this is just small business, not consumer?
No, it's just not just – I'm sorry, I didn't hear the question.
I said it's just small business, not – you don't make loans to consumers.
No, we just make loans to small businesses, and we actually match a borrower up with the right lender, and we match the lender up with the right borrower.
Okay. You have a relationship with lenders who are looking to make loans, and you're going out looking for business opportunities who need money. You're putting the two parties together.
Mm-hmm.
Are you seeing an increase in your business activity since Mr. Trump was elected?
We've seen an increase quite a bit. We focus on my side of the business focuses mostly on lenders, and what we're seeing right now is a lot of lenders are getting a little bit more enthusiastic about lending money and their actual business. It's been a challenge, let's just say that, over the last 10, 12 years. And I think we're seeing some opening up right now in the market. So I think you're going to see in the future a lot more activity as far as money being loosened up and that lending and financing flowing a little bit more to the end consumer, which is the small business person.
The customers that you're trying to find money for, what are some of the things that the majority of your clients are looking for money to do?
Well, they're looking for money to expand. So that's the number one thing when I talk to borrowers, what they're looking to do is they're looking to expand. We do have a lot that are looking to start up, but the existing businesses are looking to expand, to grow their business, which is a little bit different than what we've seen in the past. Again, the past 8-10 years is, most small businesses have kind of drawn back a little bit and said, we're not going to take any chances. We don't want to do any kind of debt financing. We don't want to strap on that payment because we're unsure of the direction of the market. So I think that attitude is changing, and the lenders in our system are recognizing that. So they're seeing a lot more activity with people who want to expand, want to grow, and also people jumping into the market, into the small businesses, and seeing an opportunity, especially entrepreneurs and people online.
Don is the founder of the Small Business Digest, and he told me recently that the number of small businesses for sale is continuing to expand, which he says is healthy for the market. Do your lenders help people buy existing businesses too?
Yeah, you can do that as long as you can get financing for an existing business if you want to purchase it, as long as you have access to the accounting. So that's mm-hmm. the most important part. If you have if the numbers work, obviously we can get you funded. The numbers have to make sense, obviously. And if they do, it's really not that big of a deal. Whether you own the business or you're going to purchase the business, keep in mind that your background is also important when you're buying a business. What experience you have in that business. Do you know, a lender's going to look at it and say, look, I'm putting my money on the line for not just the business, but for you. And do you have the experience and do you have the knowledge to be able to make this business successful? So that's, I would say two things is it's not a problem lending money to a small business if somebody wants to buy that business, as long as they have the right and correct proper background.
So would it be, I'm not trying to put words in your mouth, so please don't take it this way.
No.
Would it be fair to say that, following your own word, would it be fair to say that the last 8 to 10 years has not been an environment in our country where people were interested in starting taking risks or expanding their business because of the uncertainty of not knowing what the government was going to do?
I want to put this very delicately, Dan. The last 8 years have been horrible for small business.
Well, at least you're honest.
I don't want to cause any controversy, but that's a fact. It just has not been a very good environment for small business. And when I say small business, small business can be the mom and pop. It can be just a couple people running a business, and they're looking to, over the last 8 years, they've been looking just to survive.
Mm-hmm.
There hasn't been a whole lot of activity, and I think it goes not to just the environment. I think it goes also to attitude and confidence. There just wasn't a lot of confidence over the past 8 years or so. Now, I'm not going to put the blame on any one person or any one administration, but that's just the way our environment was. And I think we see a lot of things changing now.
I believe, as a money man, I believe that the Obama administration had small business on the floor with their foot on the throat, not wanting it or encouraging it to expand. And it survived, as you said, it survived. But when Mr. Trump came in and started getting rid of all of these regulations and talked about wanting to create jobs and opportunity, I think the momentum shifted dramatically. But with that, let me turn it over to my partner. Don, what would you like to know, since you're a small business guy?
Well, Rob, the reason I asked you on the program was because several people say you really know how to ring a dollar for success. What are some of the things that you do in marketing that you could pass on to our small business listeners?
Well, for a small business, you have to sit down and take a look at let me back up just a second. I think you have to put things in frameworks so you can understand where you are in your business. And one of the things that can make or break a small business is how you position yourself in the market. So the things that I tell small business owners is you want to have a positioning statement. You want to be able to tell your customers what and who you are. So in my businesses, we help business lenders get more leads, close more loans, and increase revenue. And that's my positioning in the market space. So as a small business person, you want to create that unique positioning statement, and you can do that by doing a couple different things. One is find three unique things that you do that nobody else does. But it doesn't have to be unique, each individual thing. But what you're looking for is the combination of three things that separate you from everybody else. If you can find those three things and then put that in your branding and your marketing, then that will separate you from everybody else. And I think that is one of the first things you on the way to success.
Well, that's good. Well, let me stop you right there and ask, what are the three unique things about your lead generation for your company?
First and foremost, it's customer service. So the difference with us is we really, really take an overly aggressive view of customer service. We treat it like that is like what we are. That's who we are. So we're very, very conscious of customer service. We just don't want to be somebody that you know, a lot of people just buy leads off of a lead provider, and we don't want to be that lead provider that just sells leads and then disappears. We want to help grow your business. So we're not just there for just to sell leads. We're here to try to help you get more leads. If you buy them from us, you can create your own leads, and we'll help you do that. So that's one thing is we're unique in the market space because of our customer service. The second thing is we have a very unique way of exchanging poor leads for good leads. And one of the things in our market space is if you buy leads, it doesn't matter who you are. If you're buying leads for residential mortgages, if you're buying leads and you're selling whatever it is you are selling, encyclopedias, for an example, if that's what you're doing, buying leads and selling encyclopedias, you buy a lead, it's yours. And what we've done is we created a built-in 20% exchange rate that you can, if you buy 100 leads, you can exchange 20% of those. So you can exchange 20 of those leads for brand new leads with no questions asked right within the system. So we think that really is one of the only, we're the only one that, a lender that I know that does that. So, so those are the first two things. And the other thing that we do is we filter out the leads specifically for your underwriting requirements. So when you come onto our system, we're not just saying just buy leads. We're saying what kind of loan packages do you want to buy your leads for? So we can match up that exact loan with your loan package with the exact buyer. So if a borrower is coming onto one of our sites and filling out an application, we can filter out that application to match with whatever program is out there or whatever program a lender has that will match with that borrower. So those are our three uniques. We filter all of our leads specifically for the lender's funding requirements. We have really high customer service, and we have a built-in return or exchange policy that you don't even have to ask. It just automatically, you can do it on your own within the system.
So how much time do you have before a break, Don?
Well, another minute and a half.
Okay. Let me ask a quick question. Do you only work with bank lenders, or do you deal with, like, private equity and venture capital firms also?
Yeah, we'll deal with just about any lender as long as they're a legitimate lender. So we take a look and we make sure that they're a real company, that they're licensed, and they have a good background, that they're not a fly by night. But yeah, we'll work with people who want to do private equity. That's not a problem, and that's another thing that, you know, sometimes on the, you know, online is sometimes you can get better service online than you can at your local bank. That's true at, like, you know, the big box stores. You can get better service online. So if you're a small business and you need money and you come through our system, then we can actually help match you up with a lender that has the money that wants to lend to your type of business. Where if you go down to the local bank, they might have all these restrictions and they might not want to lend to you. So that falls into part of that. We have a lot of lenders that are looking to lend and they have money at different times. So we match you up, and it's a pretty good system.
Rob, we have to take a break right now to hear a word from our sponsors, and we'll be right back.
Life.
It's made up of the simple day-to-day moments that keep us all running on full. Full of joy, passion, and restlessness. It's singing full on to your car radio with the windows wide open. It's a whole bunch of early morning rush hours and a few late night runs for Rocky Road. It's full of pit stops and drive-thrus. It's life, and we live it between fill-ups at Valero. Valero top-tier certified quality fuel keeps your engine running cleaner, better, and longer. Find a station near you at ValeroCleanGas.com.
Hate your old fax machine? You can now fax through email. Simply write an email, attach the document, and send. Works with all major email providers. Get rid of the noisy and expensive old fax machine and try Biscom's Cloud Fax. Our solutions are great for businesses of all sizes. Visit Biscom.com for your free trial. That's BISCOM.com.
We're back with Rob Wagner. He's a marketing person that came to us highly recommended, and we're learning not only about marketing, but how to raise money. Dan, back to you.
Thank you. I want to ask you a question. Of you talked about how the last 8 years were terrible and activity is really picking up. Is there a particular segment of the business community or retail or whatever that seems to be taking up a lot of your time because there's a lot of interest in either starting up or growing?
Yeah, any business that has had a lot of regulations on them. I know it sounds kind of broad, but, you know, we've been so over-regulated that, you know, now we're looking at the service industry with, you know, really trying to expand, and they've been over-regulated. And when I say over-regulated, it can be as simple as just all the tax burdens and all the things that you have to go through with the tax code. With, you know, insurance is another issue and a hot topic that has really kind of like pushed down on the small business owner and not know what's going to happen. And uncertainty is a killer of any market. So I think the service industries are coming back to full strength and really wanting to expand. And I think because a lot of it has to do with, you know, they're not afraid right now to expand because they know that some of these issues that are in front of us are going to be fixed. They have the confidence that it will be fixed.
Do you have a sense of how your clientele is reacting to the $15 minimum wage?
Yeah, they don't see how that's possible. I think people misunderstand how business works to some degree. I think that if you're not in business, it's hard to understand how business really works. It's a great concept. Everybody can make $15 an hour minimum. We could actually set that at $25 an hour minimum. Part of the issue with that is that becomes a cost to the business. And you have to raise prices, which means you are not going to be able to even at $15 or $25, you're not going to be able to afford to buy goods and services. So with the raise in minimum wage, that is definitely something that small businesses just aren't going to be able to compete. And that's the fear of a small business owner. I don't think that's going to happen, but I think just floating that around kind of upsets people, and it doesn't help I heard the program before this that you were talking about, you know, Walmart could be the end of Walmart, because if you do raise the minimum wage, how's Walmart going to compete? They're going to cap it out, and that's going to be it. So I think it's not good all the way around for anybody.
You think that Obamacare also stymied small business in the last year?
Yeah, that would be an understatement. think of it this way: if your budget, if your household budget, before you go out and buy a vehicle and add a car payment to your budget, you kind of look at that and say, you know, that can we afford it or can't we afford it? Now, Obamacare made a lot of small business owners buy a car that they didn't want. or they couldn't afford. And the uncertainty is incredible. I have a friend who is a chef and who owns a couple restaurants, and they were in the process of expanding, and they literally stopped their whole business plan over the healthcare issue. And they've had it on hold for 8 years. And they're now, you know, pulling it out, dusting it off, and taking a look at and see what they can do to revive that. But it certainly has stopped a lot of people from looking to put on more debt. And that's one of the things about growth is sometimes you have to take debt financing. You know, you get a nice cash injection, and it costs you money to pay that back. And if you're looking to do that, and then you have to deal with some regulation that's forced on you, like Obamacare, yeah, it can hurt you. And people don't want to take that chance and lose their businesses. And some have already done that.
Yeah, what's the typical loan size of what you're brokering through your lenders?
Typically between $50,000 and $250,000. If you get some of the larger amounts, we just don't do those. A lot of the larger amounts, and that's if a borrower qualifies. Wells Fargo is one of the biggest SBA lenders out there, mm-hmm. and Wells Fargo is doing a lot of the large commercial loans, which is kind of, you know, again, this goes back to government regulations and hurts small business. You look at the overall SBA lending, and you look at that as a total. How much of that is going to larger businesses that, you know, large banks, like, for an example, Wells Fargo, making those big commercial loans, but yet they're not helping the small business owner? That money is going to large corporations, which is fine, but there's all this money that's available to the small business owner, and regulations stop those loans from happening. It's literally a shame. Over the past 8 years, we've seen it time and time again. It's heartbreaking. You have somebody who's looking to get money. They're going to get a loan from a bank, and it's an SBA guaranteed loan. And they go through all 6 months worth of paperwork and red tape, and then it doesn't happen. It's just ridiculous.
Well, Rob, back to Don.
No, Rob, you're making you're confirming everything that Dan's been saying for the last 2 years. But I'm going to go with. I'm going to go way out of limb. I sit on the medical marijuana board in New Jersey. Have you done any loans in the medical marijuana or marijuana area? I'm just curious.
We have not, to best of my knowledge. That doesn't necessarily mean that we haven't loaned to somebody that owns medical marijuana, but we actually have not. I'm not really sure about that. Because I know that some banks have been very hesitant to do that because it's still a federal crime. Like in Colorado, we see a lot of people looking for financing in Colorado, and banks are very hesitant because they're afraid that they're going to be get in trouble for financing, you know, a drug dealer.
Yeah, Don just showed me an article last week where PNC Bank out of Pittsburgh, largest bank in the country, returned $355 million to an organization that was involved in marijuana. And the bank's trust is still a federal crime. And if you're in your institution, you can get serious trouble.
Dan, let me ask Rob a different question. Rob, Illinois right now is going through a difficult period where it's not paying its a lot of vendors because the governor and the legislature can't agree on a budget. You don't factor by any chance, do you?
Yeah, we can do factoring. Yes, absolutely. Yep. That's a great loan.
Just wondering if you were doing anything in that, because it's really turning out to be a very difficult problem in Illinois, and we do have a station in Illinois. We're just wondering. We're getting down almost to the end. We have about 2 minutes left. In your years of learning, if you had two things you wanted to say as a small business marketer you've learned, what would they be?
I would say understand your customer and understand your competition. And if you can understand your customer, I think that's first and foremost. And I always try to tell small business owners, have the correct orientation. And sometimes what I mean by that is it's a marketing term. It's what your orientation of a company is. So some companies are customer oriented. Some companies are actually company oriented, has a company orientation. And I try to tell small business owners to have a marketing orientation where everybody in the organization is looking to the customer and how can we help the customer. I think that is the most important thing is know your customer and know how to deliver and solve a problem for that customer, and also know who your competition is and know what they're doing. And when I say competition, I mean anybody that would be possibly competing with you. Like there was an article written back in 1960, I think, and it's called Marketing Myopia. And it's about companies that are focused so much on themselves that they don't see the world around them. And that's what kind of happened to the railroad industry. They were looking at it saying, my competition is other railroads, when in reality, their competition was anybody that did transportation. So look at your whole and total, your complete and total environment, in your market space that you're in, and know who your competition is and what they're doing.
We've been talking with Rob Wagner. Will you give our audience your website, how people can reach you?
Yeah, my website is businessloanleads.org. And I have my email address right on the website. There's also a contact us page. You can get a hold of me through that.
Rob, really, thank you for being with us today. And good luck to you in the future.
Thank you, Rob. I enjoyed it. Take care.
Thanks, Dan. Thanks, Don.
Life. It's made up of the simple day-to-day moments that keep us all running on full of joy, passion, and restlessness. It's singing full on to your car radio with the windows wide open. It's a whole bunch of early morning rush hours and a few late night runs for Rocky Road. It's full of pit stops and drive-thrus. It's life, and we live it between fill-ups at Valero. Valero top-tier certified quality fuel keeps your engine running cleaner, better, and longer. Find a station near you at valerocleangas.com.
Hate your old fax machine? You can now fax through email. Simply write an email, attach the document, and send. Works with all major email providers. Get rid of the noisy and expensive old fax machine and try Biscom's Cloud Fax. Our solutions are great for businesses of all sizes. Visit Biscom.com for your free trial. That's BISCOM.com.
Dan Perkins here from Recalculating.biz with your small business tip of the day. Small business funding is easier these days thanks to a new breed of lender called fintech lenders. These internet-based lenders cut the time between applying for funds and getting the funds to just hours instead of months. They also make it easier to repay your loans, but their costs might be a little higher for their service. The next time you need dollars for your small business, try them. You might like the change. I'm Dan Perkins for Recalculating.biz and your small business tip of the day.
Thank you for being with us today. From Don Mazzella and Dan Perkins.
Thank you for joining us on Recalculating. We hope the information you received on today's episode was helpful to you in starting and growing your business. Please go to our website, recalculating.biz, to contact us, to listen to past shows, and see special offers. Until next time, remember, if you grow, we grow. Join us next week for more helpful ideas to make your business a great success.
Here's an urgent message from Agora Financial.
Most of the tiny penny stocks operating in the newly formed marijuana markets are garbage. That's the truth of it. But there are a few that have a legitimate chance of becoming blue chip marijuana firms. And that's certainly the case for one 25-cent marijuana player that we've analyzed. Why? Because it was recently revealed that they are expected to deliver the best quarter on record to shareholders. All segments of operations, construction, wholesale, and retail are being reported as profitable and self-sustaining. And they could be getting ready to deliver some really big news. Shares could soar in the near future. Once the mainstream media begins covering this story, it could send share prices screaming higher. Go to profitfrompot.com to find out how you can legally stake a claim in the best of the best that the industry has to offer. If you don't, you'll probably regret it for the rest of your life. Go to profitfrompot.com. That's profitfrompot.com.